We're going to be in Jeremiah 13, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Jeremiah 13. I didn't want to go there this morning. Well, because I had a mindset of where I wanted to go, and it wasn't there. But that's where God wanted to go. Now, after I got there, I really wasn't happy that I had to go there. I didn't have a fun time there. I had a rather crushing time. I hope you want to join me and be crushed this morning. Doesn't that sound fun? Some people like the crushing. It was woo-hooing it back there. Okay. Father, God, we just thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Yes. You have been so awesome, so present, so loving and kind and merciful to us. And we don't deserve it, Lord. You just are merciful. Lord, as I held my little granddaughters in my lap and they cuddled up to me, and I know my granddaughters, and I know some things that they get into and do and some attitudes, and they aren't always behaving well. But when they got up in my lap and cuddled up to me, my heart just melts, and I just want to pour love on them. And you're such a good daddy.
Yep.
Even though we go out, we get bad attitudes, and we do wrong, when we climb up in your lap and want to cuddle, your heart melts.
Yes.
Because you love us so
thank
much.
You, Jesus.
We thank you that yes. you love us
yes.
so much to accept us as we are and not to let us stay there.
Yes.
God, we ask you for your presence. We ask you for your manifest presence, that your Holy Spirit would move through this place and just rescue us
yes.
from our own deceptions, our own addictions,
yes.
our own self,
yes.
and from our enemy who stalks us like a lion all day long. We ask
oh.
you, God, to bring truth that will set us free,
yes.
to bring your gentle, kind, loving spirit, that we would have boldness to face truth. Lord, bring the breaking. That song, and I only know that one line, Lord, bring the breaking. We need the breaking. We need the breaking
yes.
to be free.
Yes.
So we just ask your Holy Spirit to intervene for us this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jeremiah is not an easy book to read because there's a lot of people getting in trouble with God here, you know? But it's a book that we need to be looking at in these end days. It's a book that if you want to walk and live in the very presence of God, it's a book we have to look at. It's some principles of God that we have to own and live if we want to walk with God. So we need to accept the hard things and look at them. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon your loins and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and I put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle you have got, which is upon your loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days, that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded you right there. So I went to Euphrates, and I digged, and I took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred and profitable for nothing. He wanted him to put on a girdle. Now, when we're thinking about what the girdle was all about, we're thinking about manners of dress. When they used to wear clothing, why we wear clothing, it's our covering. We don't want to go out in public naked, right? That would be very embarrassing. So we put on clothing to cover ourselves up before we go in front of other people. And now the girdle was wider sash that they would bind the clothing to hold it on, but it was also an adornment, like we go and find a beautiful belt, you know, to put around our favorite dress or blouse. And it was pretty. It was part of the adorning of them that made them look pretty, pretty clothes. So it was how they wanted to go out and appear to other people. So there's a lot to that story, you know, that maybe we've overlooked. But God said he took this adorning off and he hid it in the rock until it was rotten and dirty and ruined. It could not be used again. Well, I'm going to parallel something. So I want you to look at that girdle as pride. Pride is the number one enemy of God. If we had a most wanted list in the spirit realm, pride would head the list. Number one enemy. Now the others, like selfishness and lying and cheating and stealing, they all are based on pride. Because
right.
You see, that was what took Satan down in the first place. He wanted the focus on him.
Right.
He wanted the worship on how great he looked, his adorning, his beauty. He wanted to be worshipped. Well, we in our life, we may not want to be worshipped. We don't say we want to be worshipped, but we certainly like a little glory. We really like it when somebody says, "Wow, you made that. You're so talented." And we're just like gleaming, you know. Oh, yeah, I'm getting some praise here. "Wow, you sing beautiful. Your voice is so awesome." Yeah, God gifted me with a really good voice, you know, and that feels good. It feels good. Who wants to walk around feeling like nothing and you can't do anything and everything you do is wrong and bad? No, that's not what God wants either. But he also doesn't want you taking glory that belongs to him.
Right.
He doesn't want you living in a spirit of pride.
Right.
See, this is a training center for ministers here. We are begging God to live through us,
right,
to come through us, to speak through us powerfully, to reach inside of people and grip them and open their eyes to truth and set them free and win them out of the clutches of the devil.
Right.
Another verse that came to my mind this morning was when God said, "Where has your beautiful flock gone? They've been taken captive. Where's the beautiful flock I gave you?" Now, we might not like being called dumb sheep, but God calls us sheep.
Yep.
We are his flock. And he says to a pastor, "Where's the beautiful flock I appointed for you to shepherd?" The enemy took them.
Right.
He came in through pride. And maybe through pride, stubbornness, rebellion, anger, hurt feelings, offenses. And he took them out of God's camp, out of that flock. And God was grieved about that. And we're praying this morning and I just kept seeing, there goes another one, there goes another one, there goes another one. My husband's over there praying all soft and gentle and nice. And inside me I'm thinking, "Bring that sheep back here! Where are you going with that sheep?" So I'm like, "I got to hold this, got to hold this, you know, let Harvey get done, let Harvey get done." But more sheep were going away while I was holding it, you know. We have to rescue some sheep, and the enemy is pride. Well, taken away by the spirits of pride, rebellion, anger. It's not like the enemy walks in here and drags you out.
No.
You go willingly.
Yep.
He comes along and just pushes some buttons and said, "How dare they say that to you? You going to let them get away with that?" No. You just partnered up,
yep,
with pride,
yep,
who took you right out,
yep,
of God's presence.
Yep. Led you out.
God can't walk with us in our pride.
Nope.
We're whining and crying, "God, why aren't you doing some miracles? God, why is there no power when I talk? God, why didn't they understand what I was saying?" Why? Because he can't flow through our pride.
Right.
Now, I can pick on you because this message is to me. He's been picking on me all week. He's been after my pride all week. And I've had a really hard time and some self-pity and, you know, some frustration and self-defense. And, you know, I've had all these layers he's had to go through before he could crush me this morning. And I finally got a little crushing today. So I just don't want to speak today. I have to. So I have to share this from where I am. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me," verse 8, "saying, Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaves to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not hear. They would not hear. They would not hear. There's a verse that just has gripped me for about a month now, and it's in Deuteronomy 4:12. It says, "And the Lord spoke to you." This is too high, I guess. I keep getting on my tiptoes. "And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice." God said, when you're in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of the fire, He speaks to you. And we hear His words. We come to church and we sit down. We go, "I heard every word you said. What do you mean I'm not listening?" You didn't see God. No similitude. You did not see the similitude, the presence of, the power of God. You only heard words. He said, that's not enough. It's got to get inside of us. Got to get inside of us. So God said, the enemy is pride. And pride attacks all of us. So He gave us a picture to say, the same way, tell the people, my people. He wasn't talking to the heathen. He was talking to His people. He said, tell them the same way, the same manner that I just showed you with the girdle. That's how I'm going to get your pride. That's how I'm going to destroy the pride that you're wearing, thinking makes you look beautiful. Your adornment. What it is that you're so proud of about yourself. What you're taking glory for. What's keeping you from God. He's going to take it off, and He's going to put it in the rocks. Judy, your vision made sense, because Jesus is the rock. Yesterday when I came in, I was very frustrated. I got a lot of confessing this morning. Frustration has been all over me lately. Everywhere I turn, somebody attacks me, and then I get frustrated because I'm proud. So I came in here all frustrated yesterday over the game we're writing. I'm doing the artwork. Somebody else is doing the programming. And he just all out laid an attack on me, how my artwork wasn't good enough. He accused me of plagiarizing. Just all kinds of stuff. Every reason it's not working was what I'm doing wrong. And I was upset and hurt and offended. And I came in and vented it out on Judy and Roxanne. And we prayed. And Judy said, "I had a vision. I don't know what it means, but I saw these pillars of rocks here and these pillars of rocks here, and in the middle was a waterfall." Well, you know, I was angry. When we're angry, we can't hear anything. And I'm thinking, well, wonderful. That helped me a lot. There's two pillars of rocks and a waterfall. Now, how's that supposed to help me? She said, "I don't know. I don't know what it means, but it's for you." I'm going, well, God will have to tell me what that is, because I don't get it. Well, God put us between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
Between a rock and a hard place. That means there's no way out. You don't know what to do. You are desperate. You're being crushed by these rocks. But there's living water flowing down in the midst of that place.
Yep.
Because Jesus is the rock crushing us, and Jesus is living waters cleansing something away. So that pride is getting marred. It's getting beat up. It's getting crushed. I didn't even know why I was so upset, because, I mean, I thought I grew up a little bit in God, and you can say, I don't offend very easy. You know that. You can come up and tell me you don't like what I'm doing and all kinds of stuff. You don't like how I dress. I've heard it all through the years. You know, when we were youth directors, Harvey's always in trouble. So they called us aside, and I'm thinking, what has he done now? You know, they sit us down, and the mom says, well, I don't think Sue's spiritual enough to be the leader of my daughter, because I don't like how Sue dresses. She's not a good example. And I was, well, you know, maybe it's true. Do I not dress good? You know, I questioned it, and God said, no, you know, your clothes are fine. And I could forgive that and let it go. Why was I so crushed all week by what this programmer was saying about me? I don't even hardly know him. I don't really love him, so he doesn't have the ability to hurt my feelings deeply. I don't really care if he likes me or not, you know? So that wasn't going to hurt me. I thought I was mature enough in God to say, I don't care what you think of me. I only care what he thinks of me. But you know what? I care what I think of me. I care what I think of me. And there's another level of pride.
Yep.
I was under attack to question what I thought about my own artwork. And there I found pride that was crushing me. I said, God, I'm not good enough to do this. I mean, that's just the bottom line truth. I'm not a graphic designer. I sketch on the computer. I couldn't even draw a good picture on the computer, but I learned, you know, when we were young and we could put a paper under the trace sheet and we could trace a picture? I learned how to do that on the computer. So I could take a picture of you, put it in my computer, trace it with a computer program, and then I can change your expression, change your hair, create clothes on you. But I couldn't sit down and draw a picture of you. I don't think you'd want to see what you'd look like. I really don't have the ability to do what is needed for that program. I don't. And I was having to face that and admit that. I don't like admitting that, because it was really nice when the financier of the game and my other daughter who created the games, when they would come and say, I love your art. You're so talented. You do such a wonderful job. And I'm over there, that feels good, you know. They like my art. But down inside I'm going, I don't feel honest about this. It's not completely my art. I don't feel real good about it. I told that to my daughter. I told that to my husband. I said, Harvey, it's equal to tracing. It's not right. They kept telling me, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go on the computer and do that. It's good. It's good. Oh, okay. It's good. It's good. Okay, I feel good about it again. But all the time, if that game comes out and I'm receiving credit for that art, I don't feel good about it. We need a graphic artist that knows how to work in a graphic art program and do this. I'm an idea person. I can come up with the pictures to say, here's a good idea, now somebody go make it right, you know? Okay, quit making my excuses. So, what it came down to is, how do I look to others? What are others saying about me? And how does it make me feel about me? I like to feel good about me. We like glory. We like it. And it belongs to God. You know, as I got rid of some of this girdle and got it off me, you know, I started coming into God's holy presence, and He's so awesome. And I thought, you know, we're created in His image. He made us. If we have intelligence, He gave it to us. If He didn't, we don't have any. If we can sing, He gave us the voice. It's just a little bit of His voice flowing through you. If you can draw, it's a little bit of His art flowing through you. It's Him, and all the glory belongs to Him. Can you imagine being in heaven, and here we are, ushering, making an usher's row to bring people up to the glory of God. But on route, we want them to stop and tell us what they like about us. On route, we want them to stop and say, oh, you're really good, and you're really good, and you can sing, and you can draw, and you can do this, and you can do that, and praise to you, and praise to you. I don't know if they'd ever get to God. We're really just His reflection, and He deserves all the glory. All. Thank you, God. If you decided and chose to sing through me, thank you for that, God. But it's still you.
Right.
It's still part of you,
right,
shining through me.
Right.
If we could really get that, we'd stop stealing His glory. Yep. We'd point everything back to Him. Help us to get it, Lord. Help us to get it. Open our eyes to get that. And you know what? When you do, you'll be satisfied with what He did give you. You won't have to try to show anything else to compare yourself and look a little better. But if I could do this,
People will just like you for who you are because you reflect God. We don't need all that junk. Pride is wicked. It's wicked, it's evil, it's selfish, it's anti-God, and it's a spirit straight from the devil. And if he's living in us, God cannot.
Amen.
So he has this method of how to get us set free. Bring the crushing, Lord. Bring the crushing.
Amen.
But if we love ourselves, we don't want to hear. We don't want to take it to heart. We don't want to look at ourselves. But if we would ask ourselves, God said that we live for the imagination of our own heart. What do you imagine yourself to be? He said we serve other gods. What do we love? What do we focus on? How hard do we defend ourselves when we come under attack? You know, I thought of it like claymation. They make those little clay people, and the animator makes them move. Can you imagine that little clay person saying, "Can you see what I can do?" God gave us legs and feet and muscles and all this intricate working so we could walk. Would it make any sense to say, "I'm the one moving my legs, right? So look at me, check me out, I can walk." That's just that silly for us to take credit. And it's very evil. God desired that we would cleave to him and be his people, that we would live near his heart, climb up on his lap, love to be cuddled, love to show people how wonderful he is. What verse did I finish on? Anybody know? 11. Number, verse 12. "Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word." Now get ready and listen, because there is hope. God said you have to hear in your spirit when he speaks. He said, "Tell them this word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, Do not certainly we know. Every bottle shall be filled with wine. Then thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit on David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even as the fathers and sons together, saith the Lord. And I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but I will destroy them." He's not out to destroy us. He's talking about the pride.
Right.
When pride is living in us, we get some head banging because we crush into each other. So if you get in an argument, you're contentious with someone else, you're going to bang heads and you're both going to get hurt. And this is what God's talking about. He's trying to get the pride out of us, but if we keep it in us, we hurt each other repeatedly. We're like drunken people, and drunken people aren't so smart. They do things they wouldn't do when they weren't drunk. They say things they wouldn't say if they weren't drunk. And God said they're going to be like drunk people that have lost control of their senses. And they're going to run around and hurt each other. And pride is really happy about that. The devil always gives us opposite of what he promises. Pride comes along saying, "I can make you look good. I can make people think good about you. Now, you just tell them what your grade point average was in school. Tell them you were a 4.0. Tell them you got pluses on your A's. Why don't you just tell them how hard you've worked and show them the stuff you've done so they can see how good you are, because I want these people to praise you and see all these good things. And if they know all these good things, they're going to like you. Is that true? What do you think of the guy that has to keep telling you how good he is? How much do you like the know-it-all? How much do you like the other person who tells you other good things? We all go home and say, "They are so proud. They are so full of it. They are such a know-it-all and braggart and sickening." We don't like them for that. But the devil tells us they will like you if you do this. Everything an evil spirit promises you, he gives you the opposite.
Right.
We get filled up with self-pity. Man, I don't cry. I am not an emotional person, am I? Anybody who knows me, I didn't cry at my mom's funeral, my dad's funeral, my baby's funeral. I don't cry if you hurt my feelings. I might cry if you step on my toe. I don't know. I didn't cry in surgeries. I just don't cry. I am logical, like a man. My husband is a crybaby. He cries over movies. He gets offended when you tease him. I don't. I joke with you. I'm probably just stupid. You know, blonde jokes. I'll tell them. But I don't cry. So I was full of tears last night, this morning, over all my confrontation and the game. And my other daughter, she's feeling sorry for the programmer for things the other guy said to him. And I'm thinking to myself, I think I'm going to cry. You know, I've just got all these tears. And I don't even know what that feels like most of the time. But I got all these tears coming up inside of me and behind my eyes. And I think I'm going to cry. And I'm like, man, this is really, really, I'm really, really crushed and hurt. Because I never cry. And I'm about to cry. I didn't even actually do it. There wasn't one tear. And I'm thinking, this ought to really impress God. I mean, God ought to see how desperate I am now because I am about to cry, you know? And then I come to the verse where God weeps in secret over our pride. God's all out of cry, baby. He's weeping his heart out because there's pride in me. And I'm thinking he ought to feel sorry for me because I might cry in a minute out of my own self-pity. Because I'm feeling sorry for myself. Because people are picking on me. Making me look bad. They're making me look so bad I'm looking bad to myself. And now I'm, you know, the only reason I wanted to cry is because I'm looking bad to myself. I'm having to face my inabilities. And I don't like looking bad to myself. So I'm about to cry out of self-pity. Poor me. I can't do this job. And I'm going to have to admit it. And then I'm going to look bad to everybody. God ought to feel sorry for me. That is just pathetic pride. That's all it is. I was getting crushed and I needed to be crushed because he was putting me in those rocks and he was crushing me to get the pride out. It needed to get out. Doggone, now it went the other way. I must be bumping something. Because I went to 14, then I went to 12. Verse 15. God says two times, hear ye, give ear, please hear me. When God says it twice, he's begging us, please hear me, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. If you didn't read anything else, that one verse ought to grip us right there. Please hear me. God says, please hear me, listen to me, get this, understand it, own it, don't be proud. Don't be proud. Learn to hate pride. Beg God to open our eyes in the spirit realm to recognize it. Because every time it comes, it's telling us it will protect us. It will hide us from humiliation. It will hide us from being embarrassed. You're right. And it will capture you and drag you out of the flock of God. And God won't be able to live through you. You won't be able to hear him anymore. Give glory to the Lord your God. Before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it gross darkness. Do you know what it is to be in darkness? It means God is absent because he is light. It means I don't get his wisdom. I don't get his loving presence. I don't get him to lead me and guide me, and the light is gone. I'm living as though I don't know God now in darkness because pride is darkness. In verse 17, God says, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Every time we surrender to pride, God has to go and weep in secret places. You know why? Because it's just as if one of my little granddaughters who was just up here and I'm pouring love on her, she climbed down off my lap and she said, I'm going to go over there and play with snakes. They're going to bite me and poison me and they're going to make me ugly and mean and I'm going. What would I do? I'd grab her and stop her. But God doesn't grab us and stop us. He gives us a free will. But he weeps in secret places. when we make the choice to walk away into that darkness. Because there's vipers, there's lions, there's leopards, there's wolves. All those things are out there in that darkness. And if we choose to go there, we have to suffer those attacks and bites until we come back. And I believe when God weeps in that secret place, he's praying. He's releasing his own prayer. But God has limited himself to work through us on this earth. So how does he pray? Through the intercessors who will enter the weeping with him and let him verbally speak forth the prayers for that person. Intercessors are so precious to the heart of God because they don't only want to dance in his presence and rejoice in his love, but they're willing to weep in secret places to let God release that intercession. That is an awesome, awesome ministry. But don't get proud about it, because only God could lead you there and do that to you. We can't do that unless he does it in us, can we? Have you ever known somebody's going off in horrible sin and you care and you're going, come on, God, I really want to pray for them. God, I hope you turn them around. How come I don't feel that inside? I can't even feel that kind of love unless God moves inside. Exactly. It's still God. Everything is God. Exactly. Everything is God that's good. Every good gift comes from God. Say unto the king and to the queen. Yes, I did. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves. Sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Even the crown of your glory. What God is saying is if you find yourself in pride, and we do, like multitudes of time every day, that really upsets me because I don't think well of myself for that either. I mean, I don't like the fact that I sin so many times every day. I hate it when I get angry. I hate it when I get impatient. I hate it when I'm controlling or demanding. I hate it, but I do it again every day. Every day. So when we find pride, only because we've begged God to show it to us. Please show me when I'm under the attack of pride. Please show me when I've given in to an attack of pride in any of its many faces. Talk about two-faced. Pride is about 2 million faced. He's got a lot of faces. So I'm angry. Why am I angry? Because I'm proud. Why am I selfish? Because I'm proud. All these faces, God, expose. Take off these masks. Show me when I am in pride so that I can humble myself. So that I can choose not to cooperate with it. So that I recognize it for the evil devil it is and I can say, oh no, pride, you are not living in me. Just get out in the name of Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me for partnering with that pride. I don't want it living in me and I am not strong enough to fight it. So I'm turning to you. But if we don't see it, we can't fight it. If we don't see it, we can't fight it. I don't know everything that's going on in this world, but God has asked me to be more aware of the spirit realm, more aware of what God's feeling and thinking and doing. And in that, I started, you know, I get up, time with God in the morning, no problem. There's nobody interrupting me. But as soon as I go out that door, life hits you from every angle, you know? So I get in the car and I start thinking about where I'm going, what I got to do, and all of a sudden I went, oh, I want to be aware. God, what's on your mind? And I looked out the window and I see all that brown grass that was around me that day from all this long season of no rain we had, and there's all that brown grass. And I started grieving in my spirit. I don't even know why. I don't even know what it was about. And then I let it go. And then I saw somebody on the street that I know, and they looked really sad, and I let the Spirit pray for him. And then this morning, Jackson walked up to me, and he really wanted to sing with his papa. He really wanted to sing with his grandpa. But he said, Nani, I had a dream last night, and I'm not going to tell you the whole thing right now. I'm just going to tell you this. There was brown grass and a bad man. And it wasn't good. And I went, no. You got to tell me that dream about brown grass. I got to know. So he gave up the singing and he went over to tell me the dream. And he said that he and his brothers and sisters, not the two babies though, were working for a bad man. And all of his fields were brown grass. There was no green in the fields. And then he called Jackson. He said, come here. And Jackson went up to him and the man said, soldier or battle? And Jackson said what he meant was, will you be my soldier or shall you and I do battle? And Jackson said, I knew he was a bad man, and I said, we'll do battle. And then he went back, and the dream went on. But working in the devil's fields is dead. There is no life in his fields. And I don't know why we had all this drought. I don't know why all our grass turned brown. But I think maybe it was part of that dream, part of that prophecy, that working in the devil's fields, there's no life there. There's no life in pride. There's no life in pride, anger, selfishness, self-defense, control. It's death. It's all death. And God does not want us to die. He wants us to live the abundant life that he gave us. So we need a solution. And we're going to quickly go through the solution. There is a verse, though, where Paul made a choice in 2 Corinthians 12:6. The Apostle Paul said, for though I would desire to glory, he admitted he'd really like to get some praise, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, I'm not going to glory, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. He said, I don't want you to think above what I really am. So when you praise me, I don't want you to think more of me than you ought to. I don't, this is what Paul was saying. Some people were telling him how great he was, and he said, no, I'm not. And I don't want you to think that. So let me just tell you the truth. Let me tell you what goes inside of me. Let me be honest with you. I don't want you to think those things of me that are not true. That was his choice. He said, I'd like to get that glory, but I'm not going to accept it. There's a choice for honesty, and a choice to turn to God. Psalm 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. If we will be utterly honest, way down deep, get rid of all the covering, and be honest, way down deep, take off the adornment, what we're clothed in, that makes us look so pretty, and be honest. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? 1 Peter 3:4. But let it, our adorning, be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. That meek spirit is a gentleness, a yielded, willing gentleness. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's God. He everything he could glory in and tell you about himself is completely true. He could do anything. And still he's meek and lowly, meaning he is humble, he is gentle, he doesn't go around just defending himself and bragging on himself. Even where it's true. Even when it's true. Is it true for a good singer to stand up and say, I have a good voice? Yes, it's true. But finish the sentence. Because God so mercifully gave me this voice. And without the anointing and presence of God, my voice is as dead as the brown grass, can't reach inside of you, can't bring you to God, and is nothing except God puts life in it. Amen. Amen. Finish the sentence. Give glory to God. You shall find rest unto your souls. Do you want rest in your soul? The meek, Isaiah 29:19, the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. We think, but God, if you take away my pride, I'm just going to look base and dumb and ugly and useless. No, no. He said that you will find rest to your soul. You will increase your joy in the Lord. Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You really want to walk with God, you have to walk in meekness, humility. Isaiah, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God says this, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. The word contrite means crushed. Have we been crushed? Has pride been crushed? Have we been put between the rock and the hard place? Have we been hidden in Christ where he's crushing out the prideful sin, washed in the living waters that flow in that place? I dwell in a high and holy place with him also, that is of a crushed and humbled spirit, to revive him, the spirit of the humble, to restore the heart of these crushed ones. God said, I will revive you. I will restore you. I will give you joy, peace, guidance, instruction, ministers of God. Isn't that what we live for? Isn't that what we beg him for? The only way there is to beg him to pull the mask off pride. Expose it. And when he does, kick it out, deny it, and choose humility. That is not easy to do. Part of the crushing is admitting we can't even do it. But I want it.
Right.
I want it. At the same time, I realize I'm going to have to be honest and abase myself in many things. And maybe some people won't think I look so good or like me anymore. But God will.
Amen.
And you'll like yourself because you are created in the image of God.
Right.
And the real you, when you lose this life that belongs to the devil and pride, you find your real life and you fully get to live who God created you to be, and you will love your life because you were created for that life. So it's all good if we go through the crushing. Father, we just ask you to take this and burn it into us, every one of us. Let it follow us home and stalk us and just be in our face every time pride rises up. Bring this message back to mind. Expose that evil spirit, Lord, and give us the grace of your presence to choose humility and meekness, because we want to walk with you. We want to walk so close to you in oneness, Lord, in oneness, so that your life can finally get fully free through us, and your glory can cover the face of this earth through us as we release you and stop releasing pride. God, I want to own this. I want to own this message. A message owned is one that's lived. I want to live it. Please do this in me. I invite you to do this in me. Thank you, Jesus.